It is good to be here this morning.
Amen.
Good to see each one here at Grace Baptist Church, and those of you that are watching online, we're thankful that you're with us this morning.
Yes.
Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 13. And we begin a section this morning in this 13th chapter, which covers the first 23 verses. We want to consider, way of introductory remarks, when this occurred. Of course, it's concerning the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he just got through answering the accusations of the scribes and Pharisees. And they're accusing him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, by Satan. He's answering them. And then other Pharisees came to him, and in a sly and cunning way, asked a sign from him. And after telling them that they had their signs, they had seen the miracles which he did, they had witnessed his teaching and his preaching, all of which gave testimony as to who he was and where he had come from. And then we noticed last week that his mother and his brother interrupted him and him taking that occasion to point out to them and to us who his real family are. And then as we enter this 13th chapter, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. So all that had transpired in the 12th chapter, that same day, this is the same day. And he began to preach, to teach. Mm-hmm. Well, to whom did he preach? Well, verse 2 of the 13th chapter, it says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him.
Yes, amen.
Great multitudes came to him. They were gathered together to hear the teaching and the preaching. And maybe to even have their sick healed. Well, where did this occur at? We've seen the day. It was the same day in which he answered the accusations of the scribes and the Pharisees and was interrupted by his brethren and his mother while he was teaching them, and then taught us concerning who his family is. It's that same day. Great multitudes come to him, but where did this occur? Where did this happen? Well, he went out of the house, verse 1 tells us, and he sat by the seaside. And while he was there at the seaside, this was the meeting place, great multitudes came to him there at the seaside. And because there was great multitudes, Jesus Christ needed a pulpit. Well, where did he get a pulpit? What was his pulpit? Well, his pulpit was, he entered into the ship. The ship would have elevated him above the great multitudes and allowed his voice to carry out over the multitudes. And he sat down there in the ship, probably towards the bow, right there at the front where he's overlooking all the people. And so that brings us to the subject of what did he preach? Well, in our 13th chapter is loaded with what he preached. He says, verse 3 of our of the 13th chapter says, and he spake many things. he spake many things unto them. And probably he spoke so many things unto them that not able to record them all. As we're told in the book of John. Yep. Many other things that Jesus did, but the books would not be able to contain them all. You see, he spoke many things unto them, and the how of it is he spoke to them in parables. In parables, using an earthly example to draw out spiritual meanings.
Amen.
Heavenly meanings. Well, this brings us to the first point that we're going to deal with today. And the first point that we're going to deal with today is verses 10 through 17. We're not skipping over verses 3 through 9, but just for a time. We'll come back to them next week. This first point is all that we'll get through. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Why he taught in parables? Listen, this puzzled his disciples.
Yes.
It puzzled them to the extent that they questioned him about it. In verse 10 it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? they want to know, why are you speaking in parables? Well, Christ gives his answer. He answers them. He replies to them. In verse 11, he said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Unto you, my disciples, my apostles and disciples, it is given, but unto them it is not given. It was given unto his disciples to know. They had been enlightened. They had the light commanded to shine. when John was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God commanded the light to shine so that they could see and hear, understand. They had received the gospel of the kingdom. And they had a propensity to the gospel. The mysteries of the kingdom. They had a desire to know more of the gospel of the kingdom. It was obvious that the scribes and the Pharisees, as well as others, had not a disposition for the gospel of the kingdom. They had not a disposition to the things of God. They could care less about it. They didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to them. They didn't believe it. But it was graciously given to his disciples. We ask this morning, has it been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom? Has it been given to you to know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, it must be given. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs in chapter 2. And in verse 6, we read, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." For the Lord giveth wisdom. This is not talking about a wisdom of the world. This is talking about the Lord giveth Jesus Christ. He is wisdom personified. Amen. We're told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 that he of God is made unto us. Jesus Christ of God is made unto us, is given unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification.
Amen. Amen.
And redemption. See, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You see, it is the Lord that gives wisdom, and it is the Lord that gives knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
Knowledge and understanding of the things concerning Jesus Christ and concerning the things of God. And so Jesus says to his disciples, to you it has been given. You've been given it of the Father. But unto them, particularly those scribes and Pharisees and any others who did not believe in him, it was not given. It is given to all true believers who have by experience known the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've known the gospel of Jesus Christ because it was given unto you to know it, to understand it. And the Lord gave it. That word Lord in Proverbs chapter 2 is Jehovah. Jehovah. God. The Lord God giveth wisdom,
amen,
knowledge, and understanding. And to others it is not given. A man cannot receive it unless it be given to him.
Amen.
John told his disciples that in the book of John, chapter 3, in verse 27, where we read, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above." Well, just a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, in chapter 11, in verses 25 and 26, we read this and had this saying in Matthew 11, 25 and 26. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them, has given them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight.
Amen.
You see, he gives it to whomsoever he pleases.
Right.
As it pleases him, as it seems good in his sight.
Amen.
To give him. Thank God this morning that he gave it to me.
Amen.
He continues to give to me. Christ answers with the rule followed in the dispensing thereof. In verse 12, he gives us the rule followed in the dispensing thereof. It says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. He that has shall receive more in accordance with his faithfulness. He that hath received grace, he's been given grace, it's implanted in his heart, shall continue to receive wisdom and knowledge. He shall continue to grow therein and know more and understand more of the things of God, more of the gospel. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs again. The book of Proverbs in chapter 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just, those who have received grace, they have grace, they have Jesus Christ, they have wisdom, they have knowledge and understanding given to them of God.
Yes.
But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, they continue to shine more and more brighter with each truth that they are given and each understanding and knowledge of the Word of God that they have. They shine brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but he that has not. He that has not. He has not grace. Never been given grace. He cares not. He cares not for the things of God. He cares less about them. And he cannot receive them. Because he doesn't have that gift. He doesn't have that capacity to know and to understand. He does not discern the things of God, and therefore shall not receive the things of God. We're told this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 14 where it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The things of God are discerned spiritually.
Amen.
And they have not the Spirit of God, so they cannot discern them. They don't understand them. To them, they're foolishness. Men and women all around these disciples and all around Jesus Christ thought it was foolish. Why, they agreed with the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, you're of Satan. The works you're doing are of Satan. Men and women all around us think that what we're doing here this morning, think that reading the Word of God is foolishness.
Amen.
They don't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Christ also answers again in regard to the scribes and the Pharisees and others in verse 13. He says, Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They see, yet see not. Well, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? That sounds like crazy language. If I can see, right? If I can hear, right? Jesus said they see and yet see not. They hear and yet hear not. You see, what Jesus is referring to here, they saw Jesus. They saw Jesus with their physical eyes, but they did not see him with the eye of faith. They did not perceive. They did not know who he was.
Right.
They did not understand that he had come from God. Why, on other occasions, they wanted to stone him for making himself to be God.
Right.
Making himself, claiming to be the Son of God, thus making himself God. And they wanted to stone him. They heard his teaching. They heard his preaching with their ears. But they heard him not with the ear of faith. They didn't understand. They were dull of hearing. They couldn't understand the things which he spoke. And then Jesus goes on to say, well, let's just hold it a minute. They see, but don't see. They hear, but don't hear. We're told this in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. In verse 4. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, they willingly gave themselves up unto Satan and the things of Satan, to be blinded and to not hear. It doesn't say that about the hearing there of Satan. It says Satan has blinded their eyes, but he's got their ears stopped so that they can't hear. He's got their eyes so they can't see. But they've willingly given themselves up to that. We're told in the book of John, chapter 3, that they love darkness rather than light. Why? Why did they love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
You see? So they willingly follow along with Satan and the blindness that is in Satan. Satan was the great deceiver. He not only deceived Adam and Eve, but he continues to deceive men ever since Adam and Eve. Right to this present day, men are deceived.
Amen.
You see? Jesus says in verses 14 and 15 that this is the fulfilling of Scripture. He said in verse 14, and in them, in those scribes and Pharisees, and this multitude here that are do not believe, do not understand, that do not see, do not hear, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears. Well, now this is a passage of Scripture, as Jesus said here, from the book of Isaiah. So let's turn to Isaiah and see what Isaiah said here. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. In other words, see not. That's what the word perceive means. It means see. Make the heart of this people fat. In our text, he said, the heart of this people is waxed gross. Mm-hmm. That's what that means.
Amen.
It's thickened, fattened. They've gotten fattened. The heart is fattened. And make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. They see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and convert and be healed. You see, that which was prophesied in Isaiah's time was being fulfilled in Isaiah's time, as it was in Christ's time, and as it continues to be in our time, in our day and time. These verses are applicable to people of all ages. They see with their eyes and see not. They hear with their ears and hear not. Their hearts are fattened, and their ears are dull of hearing. They understand not. They cannot see. This is a description of wicked sinners in every age.
Yes.
Their heart is fattened. They are without understanding. Scripture says their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes, they have closed. I mean, they don't even want to hear it. Where are they? You know, we hand out tracts from time to time. We talk to people from time to time. We invite people to services from time to time. Where are they? They don't want to hear.
Amen.
And if they did hear, their ears are dull of hearing. You see, this is expressive of their own willing ignorance. They are willingly ignorant. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you would think Jesus Christ is right there in their midst. And he's performing all these miracles and all these wonders. And he's teaching forth the word of God. And he's teaching excels that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And so simple, so simple. Can't you see? Can't you understand? Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple that children can understand it.
Amen.
But it's so complicated that the most intellectual people of our time cannot even understand it.
Right. Amen.
It was not given to them.
Yep.
Not given to them. It is in this scripture, in this prophecy from Isaiah, quoted here in Matthew 13, it is a just judgment. He said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Well, think about that a moment. How sad it is. That's a sad state of affairs. How sad to sit under the preaching of God's word.
Yes.
And see his providences poured out upon men. The whole world is wide. God's providence is poured out to witness that, to see that. But not to understand and not to perceive the things of God. How sad.
Yes.
But every one of us, every one of us at one time, we're in that same condition.
Amen.
I think about it all the times. I sat in church services and heard the preaching of the Word of God, heard the gospel expounded. Did not understand. Did not understand. We see also in this, we see the sorrowful effect and consequence. He said, lust. Lust at any time. That means for fear that. For fear that at any time. That is, it's a negative statement. In other words, they didn't want to. They didn't want to. It says, for fear that they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. They didn't want to. They don't want to. Man, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. Have you ever had someone say that to you?
Amen.
Maybe you've had members of your own family dismiss you. I don't want to hear it anymore. They didn't want to hear it. Well, how do you and I reconcile? How is Jesus telling his disciples to reconcile that fact? This they're willingly ignorant of. They don't want to hear it. And here's the reason. He said in John chapter 3, in verses 18 and 19, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came into the world.
Yep.
When the gospel was preached, you're preaching the light,
yep,
of the world.
Amen.
Unto man. But they rather continue on in their darkness. Why would they rather continue on in their darkness, in their blindness? Why would they want to go on in blindness? Why would they want to go on in not hearing of the Word of God? This verse says, because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
Because their deeds are evil. God says they shall not see. Therefore they shall not hear. And therefore they shall not understand. They shall not be converted, that he should heal them. they don't want to. They're fine right where they're at. Don't bother me. Is their attitude and their opinion. Seeing, hearing, and understanding are necessary to conversion. When you think about it in your own life, as long as you didn't see, as long as you didn't hear, as long as you didn't understand, you were not converted. God, when God gloriously gave you sight to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, you were converted.
Amen.
I remember that day.
Amen.
Yes. Repentance came.
Yes.
Repentance came. Praise God, salvation came.
Amen.
Through repentance and faith. We say, as Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, but God, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And we're told in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1, and you have He quickened.
Amen.
And you have He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, we were in blindness, we were in darkness, we were dead.
Amen.
We were dead to the things of God. We were dead to a life with God. Then one day,
amen,
we were gloriously made alive,
amen,
unto Him. Jesus said in verse 16, but you are blessed, for you see and hear. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes. Speaking this to His apostles, speaking this to His disciples, those who believe, truly believed on Him. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And to you this morning that are saved, you that God has given you sight to see, ears to hear, heart to understand with.
Amen, amen.
Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. They saw the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus Christ with their physical eyes, but they saw more than with Jesus Christ with their physical eyes. They saw Him with the eye of faith. They saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. They heard the mind of God in the teachings of Christ and His preaching. They understood it to be the words of God.
Amen.
And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. A few chapters over in chapter 16 of the book of Matthew, and it'll be quite a while before we get there, we read this in verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ.
Amen.
Thou art the anointed one of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee,
amen,
but my Father,
yes,
which is in heaven.
Amen.
Your eyes are blessed because you see. Your ears are blessed because you hear. Your heart is blessed because it understands that I am the Christ,
yes,
the Son of the living God.
Amen.
He said in verse 17, He said, many prophets and kings looked for Christ's coming. Let's read verse 17. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Many prophets and righteous. It's in one of the other Gospels, I think it's Luke, says kings. That word righteous there is kings, many prophets and kings. Many prophets and kings look for Christ coming. That's what he's saying in this. They look to see my day. They look to see me face to face.
Amen.
They said, men like Abraham. He told those Jews in the 8th chapter of the book of John, which believed on him, but it was obvious they didn't truly believe. If you follow that discourse down through there, they didn't truly believe. They said they believed on him, but was it true belief? No, because it says your father, Satan. You do the works of your father, the devil, he said. But he said to them there in that 8th chapter, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Well, no, Abraham didn't see Jesus face to face on this earth. Well, what's he talking about? He said, Abraham saw it by faith.
Amen.
You see, Abraham was looking by faith to see the day of Jesus Christ, the day of his appearing on earth the first time. But he didn't see it. He said, Jacob, also, in the book of Genesis, chapter 49, in verse 18, Jacob is there passing out the blessings upon his sons. And some wasn't blessings. He was pronouncing things that were prophesied concerning each of his sons. And some of them was hardships. Some of it was not good that he saw on his sons there. But in chapter 49, in verse 18, he says, I have waited for thy salvation, Lord. I'm waiting to see you, Jesus. What he said. Oh, David. David was a king who looked to see the Lord.
Amen.
He looked to see the Lord. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 14, verse 7, David says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. See, David was looking for the day of the coming of the Lord when he would deliver Israel from all its foes.
Amen.
He said this in chapter 17 and verse 15 of Psalm. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, David said, whether I see him here upon earth, I'm going to see him in glory.
Amen.
One day. And I'll be awakened with his likeness. Men like Solomon. Men like Isaiah. Many other of the prophets look forward to the coming Lord, the Lord. They saw Christ through types, through sacrifices. They saw him in the promises and in the prophecies. However, they saw him afar off. We're told in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, the promise of his coming. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Amen.
But his disciples, in Matthew 13, Matthew 12, 11. His apostles and his disciples who saw him and believed on him. They saw him in person. They heard him preach.
Yes.
They witnessed his miracles and the power of his preaching. They were blessed.
Amen.
But we today, we have the complete revealed Word of God.
Amen.
They didn't.
That's right.
they didn't have a complete revelation of God. We have the completed revelation of God's Word. And then we witness the power of His Spirit to make those dead in trespasses and sins, make them alive in Christ Jesus. Our lives and all who are made alive in Christ Jesus, we witness the power of God to transform our lives,
yes,
and their lives by His wonderful, marvelous power.
Amen.
We're told in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 that mighty power was raised Jesus from the dead. Goes on in chapter 2 and says, and you have He quickened. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that quickened us, made us alive, and delivered us from all those hosts of things in verses 2 and 3, wherein we were dead in trespasses. And then verse 4 says, but God.
But God. Amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Yes.
Amen.
We witness the wonderful, matchless power,
amen,
of God to transform,
yeah,
our life from a life of sin, being ruled by sin,
yeah,
to a life that is free to serve God.
Amen.
Pleasing. A life that is pleasing unto Him. Shall we stand?